is the sound. And get crazy, have some fun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham, and with us today is 50% of my favorite mom podcast, Naptime Radio.
Froze.
Oh no, I froze already. It's already shutting down.
It's already going to hell in a handcart. Heather is with us from Naptime Radio. Hello, Heather!
Hello, Justin. It's good to be back. I'm sober. I don't know how it's going to go down.
It's going to be very boring is what's going to happen. I don't know if you go back and listen to your podcast, but I did go back and listen to that one. I rarely go back and listen to an episode, but I went back to listen to that one because it was such a shit ton of fun. And I wanted to make sure that if I wasn't in there and under the influence of bourbon, if I still would have been having a shit ton of fun. And I think we did. I think it was.
You think so?
I think so.
I enjoyed it. I thought we were funny as hell.
Yeah.
But then again, yeah. I mean, we were feeling fine and having a good time. If anyone else did, I don't know. But that's how I always feel about my show. I might be the only one having fun here.
It is part of the, I think, probably the bonus and the downside to podcasting is that you're like, why wouldn't people enjoy this? What is not fun?
Then you listen to another show, you're like, boring. And you're like, wait, they just said the same shit I do. Why is that boring? Oh my God, maybe I'm boring. And then you just let it go. You just got to let it go.
Not us. We would like to call underrated. That's what I like to say.
There you go. That's it.
So here's what's going on in my life right now. And I'm glad that that this is coming up when I have a woman guest on, a mom, and is because I'm wrestling with this idea that I feel like I'm transitioning into being more feminine nature.
Transition to what?
Yeah, exactly. You can't say that word anymore. I just realized. You can't say transition today.
Are we going to pick girl names out? What are we doing?
It's getting way too real too fast. We're not even 5 minutes in, and I am already making life changes. No, it's this thing where, and I want to get your take on this, Heather. I have realized recently, I had to go on this diet, right, to try and lower my cholesterol. And I don't think that has to do with it, but part of the diet was they told me to stay away from coffee. So I started drinking hot tea. They said eventually, so now I have a little green tea right here. And then I bought, they said you could have herbal teas as much as you want. And so now I am way into hot tea. Like we're experiencing 51 degree weather here in Southern California, which is, that's when you eat comfort food in Southern California, gluten-free.
That's cold for you, right?
Yeah,
it is. That's like, ooh, it's chilly. We better get the tea.
Yeah, there's lots of North Face jackets on. There's lots. REI is getting a spike in sales right now. Yeah. Beanies are around in 51 degree weather.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it is a parka. It's really sad. And so I'm drinking this orange cinnamon tea that another mom at the Booster Club gave me, and I love it, Heather. I love it so much.
I think you actually may be transitioning in a different way. But you can stick with the tea if you want.
And then to make matters worse, my wife loves the smell of lavender, right? And so I had this idea of I was doing an open house, right? And I was... They had the sticks and the oil, and it's like an essential oils diffuser where you turn the sticks over.
Uh-huh.
And it was a great smell, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I started looking up on the internet, like, what's an oil diffuser? What's involved? And they make ones that are like little portable humidifiers almost. And I've seen them at the music lesson place where my kids take piano. This is not, none of this is manually, none of this is masculine in any way, shape, or form.
I know. I'm like, okay, you don't have to ease me into it, dude. If you're transitioning, we don't have to pretend it's tea. We don't have to put the quotes around the tea and the sticks coming out of bottles or whatever that means.
So I fall asleep every night now with a lavender essential oil diffuser. And then I really feel like the low was, I noticed during this cold spout we've had that my hands were a little dry. And so I purchased some moisturizer. But it is for men, and it is Gold Bond brand.
Okay, that's pretty manly. Are you wearing women's lingerie under your clothes right now, or?
Not now, no.
usually? Do you sleep in women's lingerie?
Define usually and sleeping.
I just remember I listened to something about the Bruce Jenner story where when he was transitioned, all that time he was wearing women's underwear underneath. So I think as long as you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Probably just that you like tea and it's okay.
Okay. Just like tea and it's okay. No, it is. And I'm glad that you are being so valedictory. I don't know the word.
Validating?
Yeah, that's it. I like valedictory better. But anyway, I just want to know, man to woman here, like how the only thing, I love all of these things. And there is a part of me that, though, the biggest fear I have is that what if I'm unintentionally making my wife less attracted to me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what if part of being into me is that she wants to be a manly guy? Or is it nice that we have so many shared experiences now?
Well, you know, there's one thing you could do that would easily answer this question. And a lot of people don't go this route. It's really, you could just ask her.
Mm.
No, too straightforward. No, but that's not enough. That's not gamey enough for you.
Yeah, no, that's
such a chick. You're such a chick. Like, I could ask her. But no,
yeah, that's
a game.
That sounds boring.
Building a fort in your backyard. Didn't I see that on Facebook?
Say what?
Aren't you building a fort in your backyard?
Yeah, but again, see, it's like I'm wondering if, you know, like they have the saying, methinks the lady doth protest too much, right? Like, it's like, am I overcompensating by getting Gold Bond brand moisturizer and building a fort just to try to hang on to? Because in between cutting pressure treated 4x4s, I'm sipping on some orange cinnamon tea that is delightful.
I think you're finding a balance, Justin. You might not be used to balance, but that's called balance. You know, you're in touch with all of you. I mean, it sounds like with the cream, you may be really in touch with a lot of you, but that's not what we're talking about here.
That's
not what we're getting into. I need to know how Gold Bond performs compared to more feminine creams, okay?
You were so helping until you pointed out the fact that I didn't even buy moisturizer for masturbatory purposes. And it is solely
you've always been very in touch with your feminine side, though. I mean, she's known that, right? Like, that's not new.
Oh yeah,
when
you're right.
At your house and we went out to dinner, I believe we discussed how you're the woman and she's the man. I mean, didn't we? Emotionally?
Yeah, definitely.
I felt like this. She's like, oh, fuck your feelings. Why are you talking about your feelings? Right. Dead long, stop talking about your feelings. Yeah. Do I remember that sort of correctly? I know I drank a lot of wine.
No, you're absolutely spot on. That's impressive how dead on your drunk memory is, actually. That's exactly.
See, so you're fine. You're living up to expectations.
Oh, good. Thank you, Heather. You're such a good friend. I appreciate you immensely.
I love you, man.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, because it's so funny. I don't think this is a sensitive subject at this point, but you're divorced, right? So you're no longer married, which is the definition of divorce, Justin. You're an idiot. But I always get lots of emails from listeners saying, you know, hey, if you could have more single parents or parents that are separated on and. Even you said when you were coming on the show that you would like to talk about like co-parenting and stuff like that. So walk me through it. How does it work to co-parent with someone that you're not married to anymore?
Okay. So it can be awesome if you do it right. Okay. Here's the timeline on the divorce co-parenting thing. It's like Kate told me when I was going through it, she's like, well, based on my other friends that have had a divorce, you got 18 months before you decide whether or not you're surely going to get divorced. So that time sucks. Then the following year also sucks. But then once you get past the like, all right, we're separated. We both have these kids. We gotta do this together, you know, and let's focus on what works for them. And the key is really like also still supporting each other's parenting. I think it's freaking awesome for several reasons. One, we didn't agree on everything having to do with parenting, right? So now I do it my freaking way and he does it his freaking way and we don't have to do it together, which is lovely. So like when it's dad's weekend and my kids are like, but dad's going to make us do blah, blah, blah. And we don't, I'm like, so what? You're at dad's house. You do what dad makes you do. You know, what do you want me to do about it?
And then when it's
my time, we do what I want to do, you know, and we do parenting the way I want to do it. And I support his shit. He supports mine. It's great.
And it sounds like as long as you're supporting like that, because if you start to try to undermine what the other person is doing, that's when it becomes an issue. Or is it you think it's working for you because there truly is a separation in that you rather than trying to meld your parenting styles, you have embrace the separation of it and go, listen, that's how dad does things and this is how I do things.
Exactly. I think it's both those things you just said. Like when they're at his house, I can support him. You know, when we split, he was like, he did make a point. There were many reasons, obviously, that we split. But one of the things he did say, we really didn't have a lot of similar interests. He was a guy that liked to sit home and read. I'm someone who wants to be outside doing things. And he was like, why is one right and one wrong? And I was like, no, you're right. One is not right and one is not wrong. I just don't want to do your shit and you don't want to do my shit, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, once you have, that's okay, but then you have kids and you've got like 7 minutes a week free. And so you really don't want to do the shit you don't want to do during 7 minutes. And then that's when it becomes a real issue.
Your spouse becomes the other person that you're doing shit for that you don't want to do.
Right. So if you could have similar interests and then spend that 7 minutes doing things you both want to do, winner.
Winner, right? Winner.
Right.
But and you haven't, and tell me, I mean, I'm putting you on the spot here, but have you come across any like issues that you didn't think would be issues that, that you had to kind of work through?
With co-parenting?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good question. There's always, you know, it's, I think when you go through a divorce, there's a lot of like personal growth that goes on where you, when you can step away from some things, you can also go, man, I was kind of a jerk about that. You know, when you're in it, you're just fighting your battle, right? Like, I'm right.
Yeah.
It's my way. Your way is wrong. And when you can step back, I think that you can take a chance to say, all right, I could see where they were coming from. And, maybe be a little more supportive of some of the ways that they do things. It's in some ways easier to do when you don't also have to do them.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that does. It's
about what the question was.
I think it's an interesting way to look at it is that this idea of when you're in, like if Natalie and I have a fight about how the kids are being raised, the intensity is very high usually. Like it's, you know, because we're both invested, right? But when you add to this element of now we're divorced, right? And you give that person kind of that, for lack of a better term, that slack or that leash or whatever allowance to kind of go, well, you're going to do things separate and I don't have to, I got a tickle. I don't have to fight you anymore. Like, and so therefore it makes you more open to being a little bit more malleable and flexible. Is that kind of what you're describing?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And you see where they're coming from and you can kind of see the ways that you are an asshole too, you know? And I think that's a good thing. And you appreciate, so right, when he takes the kids now, it's on him. And I know that a lot of marriages battle this, right? I think you are with your kids a lot more than many men are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to take anything away from the, I know there's a lot of guys out there that do a lot of the parenting stuff, but in my marriage, I really did do a lot of the parenting stuff. And now that we're divorced, when he's with them, he's doing all that stuff. There's definitely been things that he does now that I'm impressed by, you know, that frankly I'm not interested in, but is good for the kids to learn about and do. And he's stepped up and he does it. And he does it completely on his own without me, obviously. And that's like, all right, cool. I think he's being a better parent than he was when we were married.
Yeah, because
and
he doesn't.
Maybe I'm being better too.
He doesn't have you to kind of like you can. It's the thing. I think it's the smallest chapter of most of the parenting books I've read is that idea where you have to stay focused on each other, right? You have to focus on the relationship with your partner in this, because through that, like. The tendency is that you split and divide for the kids. So it's like, he's like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make the money and then you take care of the kids or whatever that division of labor ends up being. But when you separate, right, and then now you're solo, it means that you got to up your game. And it also, I think it goes to go back to your other point, is that it creates a Freaky Friday kind of situation where he gets to see like, oh, now I know kind of what she was going through, and it opens his eyes a little bit and and it just creates a little, ironically, through separation, you become more understanding towards each other, right? Like,
in a lot of ways, I think that's true. And also, he's remarried, so there was the, it wasn't easy for me to accept that there was going to be another mom in my parents' and my kids' life.
Oh.
But at the same time, she's wonderful. So it's like, you don't want some other woman to be an asshole to your kids, but at the same time, you almost wish she was an asshole so that you could be like, see how great I am, you know? But long term, that's a shitty idea, right? Not good.
Right.
So I'm super thankful that she's really cool. And there are benefits to having three parents. I mean, she when he can't do something and I can't do something, she steps up and does it. And that's pretty awesome. So there's also, there's like a letting go of, I'll always be their mom, you know, but they should, I'm happy that they like her and I'm happy that they love her. And I'm happy that when they're all together, they do, you know, they do married mom, dad, kid things, which I can't give them. So it's good that they get to see that as well.
And it's, did you, was there a transition? Like, I keep using that word.
I know. We'll get there, honey. We'll get there.
It gets better. No, I'm curious about the idea that, because I love this dynamic, because I don't think, I here's the thing. I would argue that I think that the dynamic you're describing that you're going through in your life is in a lot of ways similar to most, right? I'm sure that they're the ones that are more contentious and it's more adversarial, but I like that you're being so honest about the fact that, like, this other woman comes into the picture. What I'm trying to ask is, like, is there ever a formal sit down where the three of you get together and kind of go, like, how are we going to bring this third person into, or is that too open and too honest for a separated relationship?
I don't think when Dave met Maureen, I don't think that he and I were in as good of a place as we are now to really talk through that stuff. But I will say, when they were getting married, I sent her a message and basically said, look, this was never my plan to have my kids have another mother. But if they have to have another mother, I couldn't have chosen someone better. I really appreciate you and the way that you've loved my kids. And I think that kind of, and she was really cool in responding to that. And that kind of set the tone for how the three of us were going to interact. And then there's been some things along the way that I've learned. For example, I don't just text him. I text them both. Right. And our emails are all three of us. So she's in the loop on everything. And she does a really good job of not trying to push an agenda, but being a decent go-between when Dave and I disagree. And it's part of it is also me being open. Like I said, I think when you get divorced, there's a certain feeling of failure and a little bit of personal growth that you're like, I gotta make some changes too, right? If I was perfect and he was perfect, then this would be perfect, and it's not, right?
Right.
So maybe I have something to do with that. And so anyway, it gives you a chance to look at yourself differently and your relationships differently. And it's been a decent experience. But again, I'm 6 months out, so I always 6 years out. Sorry. So I always tell people who are early on, like, the first year was horrible. We really did not like each other, and parenting was a huge challenge because anything he did, in my mind, he was an ass, and probably anything I did, he felt similarly. But as time goes on and the kids are okay, and you're so thankful that the kids are okay, that you start going, well, I'm sure it's not all just me that the reason that they're okay, right? It's also him and her. And so, you know, take a step back and look at the bigger picture and be thankful.
If you think about it, I feel like most separations, divorces, however you want to call them, it's not a slow burn, right? I feel like it, at least that's how it was with my parents, is that even though I was young, I remember there being kind of like this, things were not so cool. And then it just, like, all of a sudden you start to feel it escalate until it hits a breaking point. And then it's like, and that's when a decision is made. And so when you have that breaking point after that escalation, one could assume that you also have to come down from that a little bit. And so I would imagine that first year is kind of you, like, dealing with the frustration and getting past it. And then once you have some distance removed from that, you know, break, then it's easier to kind of look at things with a more clear head. Is that fair to say?
I think that's a really good way to put it. And the other thing is, like, when I see people who are divorcing and so nasty to each other, I mean, at some point, in theory, you really loved this person.
Yeah.
You can kind of get back to that. Like, I can honestly say I love Dave still now. You know, like, I can look at him, I'm appreciative of the kind of dad he's been. I know that we both went through a lot of things, but I can step back and, from a friendship standpoint, like, I really care about the guy and I want him to be happy and I want him to be a good dad, and he is. And, you know, now that time has passed from all that, like you said, that escalation and then coming down off of that, and it's not so much our feelings for each other are not involved anymore. You could step back and say, hey, I really cared about this person. And so how can I be a good ex-spouse? I think there's something to being a good ex-spouse. And I know several other people who are in that situation where they really have a good relationship with their ex. It's totally doable. And I think the frustrating thing is that when you're going through it, it feels like, at least in my life, and this could be the influencers or like the people that my family, I don't know. Some people had this feeling that like I was ruining the kids' lives and it was going to be sucky for me and I wasn't going to be able to get back on my feet. And like all these things were going to be ruined. And I can honestly say at this point, with the caveat that things always change, but things are so much better than they were when we were married.
Yeah. I think it's, this to me sounds very much akin to the guilt. I think that early on you go through when they're really little and you really want to break. And I don't know if you experienced this too, Heather, but when the kids are really little and you want to break, you kind of feel bad about it. Like you feel like, well, I'm not loving this parenting thing as much as I should be. And right. When in actuality is that when you do take some time to take care of yourself and not make everything about them, it actually makes you more effective. Like you can, it's a recharging of your batteries to make it sound super douchey, but it is like that's what I think is what it sounds like. When you're not dealing with the tension of being with someone that things aren't working out with, it makes it easier for you to kind of take care of you and not have this built up animosity or however you want to describe it. And it just, everything mellows out. And it is interesting that people are, even today, can be still so hung up on the idea, because both Natalie and I, even though her parents never split up, but they had a very contentious relationship and often said that they stayed together because of her. And she actually had a conversation where she's like, no, you're not putting that shit on me. Like, you could have done whatever you want to done. And for me personally, especially now that I've gotten older and I've gotten a lot closer with my real mom, is that everything worked out so much better, like especially in retrospect, like to be able to grow up in a household where there was that kind of tension my entire childhood, I think would have been worse, to be honest. But I don't know. Hindsight maybe is always 20/20, and especially in this case. But the idea that was over, there was a rough spot in the beginning, like everybody goes through, and then everything just kind of mellowed out and chilled out. And now everybody's pretty cool. But then you have kids and then it resets the whole thing. So when your daughters have kids, maybe it'll create a whole other obstacle to jump.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. When we first split, they used to say like, we wish we'd get back together and can we all move back in together? And that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, but they get over that. And the other thing that's crazy about kids that we have to remember is like, whatever they feel, they say, and then they feel something else a minute later.
Yep.
But when they say it, we feel it for like weeks.
Yes.
Right. And they're past it.
Yep.
And so letting some of that stuff go, and it has its challenges, but again, like, for example, a great one is the religion thing. So when Dave and I were together, we went to church, we did the whole thing. When we split, I lost a lot of interest in the religiousness of spirituality. That's a whole nother topic, but I don't do church anymore for many reasons. And he's way into doing church now, which is totally opposite of how it used to be.
Yeah. Wow.
But so he and his wife, they go to church every week. They go to church on Wednesday night. They take the girls to all these church things. And I'm glad they do, because if we had stayed together, it would have been the battle of like, I don't want that, but you want that. So now what?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you can do that with him and you can not do that with me.
Yeah.
And you can see both.
Yeah.
Right. What works for you in the long run. And I can support that. You know, sometimes they may complain about church. I'm like, you know what? So what? You go, you hear some good things and you move on.
Yeah.
And then they're like, why don't you go? I'm like, I don't have to go. So. And I'm a grown-up. And when you're a grown-up, you can decide.
Well, because one could argue you spent a lot of time when you were their age at church, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah, so you paid your dues. That's how it works. That's life in all forms, kids.
I graduated, bitches.
One quick thing, because it's another question that I get. And it's always interesting to me that when I'll get an email and somebody will have like a thing of like, what about this that I never really thought of as being a thing that people think about constantly, I guess. Although I guess it makes sense. I'm beating this to death. Here's my point. How difficult is it to navigate dating after you separate? Like, is it, and in your opinion, like, how worried do you have to be about the kids when you start dating or seeing other people?
Right. So that is a whole nother thing where our custody arrangement, in my opinion, worked out from a dating standpoint better for him. I have them most nights.
Uh-huh.
Right. And for me, I don't really want to move another parent in, because that parent would be a full-time parent. And I'm gay. So also we don't have the guy thing going on,
yeah.
Which for those listeners who don't listen to my show are like, oh, maybe that's why they got divorced. Yes.
That could have been a small part of it. It could have been a small part of it.
Yeah, just a little bit, a little just thing. A
little hang up.
But when, you know, him dating a woman was a lot less stressful for me than like if I were to bring a guy into their life.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not a concern for us, right? So that's off the table. But at the same time, you know, I've been seeing someone for a year and a half and she's got kids as well. And neither of us is interested in blending families and neither of us is interested in being a parent, a full-time parent to the other one's kids.
Yeah.
Like I still want to be so present and full-time with my own kids. It would be hard to bring other kids in because no matter what, you're going to love your own kids best. I just can't imagine. Somebody else may totally disagree with me and I'd be open to hearing that. But for me, I can't imagine loving other kids as much as I love my kids.
Yep.
And the challenge that would go with that. So for me, it sucks in a sense and that I'm stuck in this for the, you know, my kids have 7.5 years till they graduate high school. Not that I'm counting.
That is a very large advent calendar.
We're just checking it off one day. But you realize, you know, like, well, to go back, remember in the beginning when we both started our shows and the kids were young and it was like, oh my God, 18 years, this is hell, right? But they grow up some and it becomes a lot more fun. And then all of a sudden you're here in this middle point, they're 10 and you're going, holy shit, I only have 7.5 years left. Yeah. Suddenly that doesn't sound very long and I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
You know, so the struggle for me is I really think right now that I'm looking at another 7.5 years before I'm willing to take the next step with anybody. And that's on the one hand, that's what I want. And on the other hand, that sucks a little bit. Whereas for Dave, you know, he has the kids every other weekend. And so he got remarried and she's part of their life. And maybe he wouldn't have seen it as a bigger deal even if he had them more often. But for me, I really didn't want them. I didn't want someone else to parent with.
But here's what I think you're coming at it. And tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth. Is that you're coming at it from a primary caregiver. That's kind of my new term for stay at home, whatever. Right. You were the one who was primarily taking care of the kids. And not that you hated it, not that you had to enjoy every minute of it, right? It was just, it is what it is. But here's what I think that begets, is that in this kind of a situation where you're going through a change in your life, that it's natural. And I think it's really healthy for you to kind of go, I'm gonna kind of focus on me. I'm not giving up on my kids, right? Because you're still taking care of your kids, but you're focusing on what it is that you want your relationship with your kids to be for this time that they are still technically kids, right? We never stop parenting, but I don't think that there's, I can't see any, not that you need my validation either. You're not me, but. Let me slap it on you, girl, because I think it makes sense. I think it makes perfect sense that for you to be someone, no matter what, and this is what I tell the dads that listen to the show that are working dads, is that sure, is it very important that you go out there and you bring home a paycheck and you're the provider? Absolutely, right? But if you really want to make a difference in your spouse's life, when you come home from that work, you got to recognize that whatever they're doing at home is a lot of work too. And while it doesn't translate financially, it does translate into the overall quality of life that you get to have. And that the best way for you to make things easier is to A, tell that person how great they're doing and how much you appreciate it and recognize them. Because when you're dealing with little egotistical beings that only care about themselves because that's naturally part of their development, there's not a lot of bat packing. Or, you know what I mean? Nobody's patting you on the back.
I got you. Backpacking.
Yes. Or back patting. That's what I meant to say. I'm very good at this. But you know what I mean? So now you go through this thing where it's like, you know, you're making huge changes. And so it's completely natural to be like, you know what? I'm going to do what Heather wants to do. And a big part of what Heather wants to do that makes you not be a selfish person is like the reason why you're doing what you're doing is because you love your kids and you want to be able to enjoy these, you know, 7 years that you have left. And I think that's great, to be honest. I think it's perfect.
I'm super lucky because my girlfriend is in the same boat and feels the same way.
Yeah.
Like legitimately in the totally.
Her kids are the same age too?
Yeah. So together we have 3 10-year-olds and 2 7-year-olds. So we each have twins.
Wow.
And she has one more. And we get all get together and we have a nice time. But the other thing is, I think both of us being divorced also sheds light on, like, okay, the fairy tale of what could be is probably not the reality of what would be if we moved in and had five kids.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas maybe we can save our relationship by not doing that.
Yeah.
And once they're gone, actually have a chance of working.
Right.
Meanwhile, still being involved in each other's lives and each other's kids throughout that time. Now, that's where how I feel right now. I reserve the right to always change my mind. And I think if my kids were much younger, like, there's something about seeing the finish line that changes it, you know?
And
I feel like, man, this time is going to go so fast, and I can't ever have it back. I can't ever go back to having 10-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
So I just don't want to miss it.
And it's great because I don't know if you're experiencing this too, is that every stage of parenting has its own challenges, but I really feel like this is the easy street. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm right in a nice little coasting zone in between like toddlers and diapers and teenage years. And right. And so sometimes I have to kind of shake my own self and go, hey, pay attention. These are the good times right here. And I think I'm doing a good job of kind of still staying in there, but there's a little bit of, when they're not so young, you don't have to be in their face. And I like that. I like that they can go do their own thing. But I miss them and I pull them in even though they don't want to be sometimes doing stuff. But,
like, Dad, don't hang out with us. Okay,
yeah, kind of. Well, I'm not quite there. There's still a little bit of like, hey, Dad, will you do this? And so I walk on a nice middle ground. But I think I'm preparing myself and for the eventuality that they are going to be like, I don't want you around. And then, of course, the twist of irony comes that I'm going to be constantly wanting them around then. I can't wait to be a hypocrite about that. Let's say
my kids said, hey, somebody that they knew, they called their mom an asshole. And I go, oh, yeah. And they're like, yeah, isn't that awful? I'm like, yeah, but you'll probably think I'm an asshole eventually. No, we never will, Mom. I'm like, I know. That's what we all say. That's true.
All right, let's take a quick break. And I'm going to hit this randomizer thing. And we're going to figure out what we're going to talk about in the second segment.
Anything to do with transitioning? That's it.
No, but it is going to be fun because we're going to talk about whatever the hell we want because we got a date night coming up. So we'll take a quick break, and then Heather and I are going to enjoy a date night after this. It's time for date night where we talk about things other than being dads. Going to do our best. No promises. Probably won't be that hard. Or moms, I guess. I should make that for the occasional time I have a mom on. Here's the thing. It could be parenting associated, but I had this idea for the next time I do a date night segment just to kind of springboard the conversation. What is it? Do you have like a silly fear of anything or even a bigger fear? Like, like of spiders or clowns or any of that kind of stuff. I'm trying to think of the things that my wife has always made fun of me that freak me out is she says I'm afraid of heights, but I've climbed up, I've hung lights in like humongous theaters and been like 40 feet in the air, tied off to just a pole, and it's not comfortable. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want anybody to try to measure my resting heart rate with it, but to say that I have a fear of heights because on our honeymoon, we went on a helicopter trip over the mountains of Maui or whatever, and the guy went over this crest of a mountain and the wind shifted. And I leaned on what was a half an inch of plexiglass, and it was a door. And I had a little momentary panic. Now, I didn't squeal. I didn't cry. Right. I just went, whoa, like
that's
that.
Your story.
Yeah.
Let's ask Natalie.
How dare you?
You scream like a girl, but whatever. That's fine. That's understandable.
The point is, it was a momentary scream. It was more like, it wasn't like, it was just like that. You know what I mean? There's a difference. There's
I'm
a yelp.
I'm glad you screamed that out.
So she's constantly giving me flack for having a fear of heights. Do you have any, what's Heather's fear?
So mine is kind of random, but it ties in nicely to some things that have happened recently in my life. You see, I got the new specs, right?
Yeah, they look hot.
Yeah, I got glasses. Thank you. I got glasses. But I had not been to the eye doctor in 15 years because my fear and what grosses me out the most is eyeballs. Like, I just can't deal with eyes at all.
Like,
and my kids know it so much that if eyes come on the TV, they're like, oh my God, don't look, Mom. Don't look, Mom. I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. I can look at an eye, you know, but it grosses me out. So I went to the eye doctor 2 weeks ago, finally, because I can't see. So like, it's time, Heather. And And she takes all these pictures of my eyes and starts giving me details about my eyeball. This is your optical nerve. This is the thing. And finally, I'm like, listen, do you have to tell me this? And she's like, no. I said, is anything wrong? She said, no. I'm like, then we're done. And she's like, what? I'm like, I don't need to. This is grossing me out. I feel like I'm going to throw up right here. Like, I don't need to know any of this. So she starts laughing. She's like, okay, I'll keep it short. I'm like, I appreciate your knowledge. I appreciate your equipment. That's awesome and fancy, but I don't want to know any of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, eyeballs are my thing.
So can you do eye drops in your own eyes or in your kid's eyes? Or is it just.
If I have to.
But it is that's not a good thing. Like what do you do if
I wouldn't measure my resting heart rate while I was.
Yeah. Good point.
My right eyeball.
But I'm saying, would you like, I guess how to say it, like, so even that though, like what happens if you get something in your eye? Is that like to me, like I just kind of look down and I blink like I do like that and it doesn't really affect me. But when you have
can
a fear, huh? You want to do this again?
Can like I see
this?
That again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like thanks that. For the visual. I wish this was a video podcast. So that was good. All right. So that's what you do.
Yeah.
I don't scream like a girl or anything, it makes me sick to my stomach. Like I don't. Ugh.
No, yeah, no, just even, well, I don't know why I keep making you talk about it. I'm so sorry.
Well, like my friends will get a little, like their eye will get red because they did something and I can't even look at them. I'm like, oh, you got a red thing in your eye. And I just don't look at them.
Here's the other thing I realized while I was talking to you about this is that I used to have a joke in my act about this, is that I've never known what is acceptable as a compliment to give to a woman. Like, I think it's a nice thing that if I see you with glasses and I'm like, that's hot, but am I accidentally being chauvinistic? Am I not supposed to compliment
maybe to
them?
Some women, but I love it, baby. You can compliment me all day long. It doesn't hurt my feelings.
It's so weird because especially when you're like me and you hang out with moms constantly after school, and no matter what, you cannot hang out with a group of two or more women and not have somebody start worrying about their hair or talking about how they got a haircut and they don't like the way it looks. Okay. And then when you're there and you're a guy, like, I don't know why I don't like it, but I feel compelled to go, No, you're great. But then I'm also in touch, I guess, enough with my feminine side, and maybe by enough, I mean too much, where I know that's like, but I also don't want it to make it seem like, listen, little lady, I know that you only get your hair cut for me, but, and I just, want you
to
know.
You're not trying to be creepy. I get it.
Well,
how do you pay someone? Because as women, we can do that to each other.
Yeah.
I worry about that sometimes now that more people know that I'm gay. I kind of experience that because I want to say, you look nice without it being like, I don't want to sleep with you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, it becomes a different conversation.
I'm not trying to, no, I'm just trying to say you look nice. I can feel for you guys a little bit with that.
I was in Omaha, Nebraska, and the comedian I was with, Jim Morgan, he wanted to take me to this club after the show. So I was like, sure. And it's this place, I think it's called The Edge, and it's like the largest gay club in the Midwest. And so... And you've got your spectrum. You've got what I call your average gays, which just look like suburban gays, right? And then you have your showy gays, where they're like running, even though it was, you know, 2013 or 12 or something like that, but he's running around in 1980s boy shorts, like the dolphin short shorts,
a matching
tank top, and then tube socks that are coming up just below his knees that have the exact same green on them, and the shoes match up, and a headband. Yeah,
okay.
And he's carrying shots around. He doesn't work there, but he's carrying shots around, like, you know. And so I'm sitting there and we're hanging out at the bar and people like went to, I think, go use the restroom. So it works out. I'm standing at the next to this island bar by myself. Right. And it's a pretty big room. And I see this guy who, I'm going to be frank, he's not the most attractive dude I've seen. And I say this because I feel like when you're a gay guy, most gay guys are smoking hot. Right. And so that's a rough spot to be in. But it's important to my point here is that he roams around the room and you could tell he was kind of making a move but he was making a move on dudes that were there with other guys. Like, they were clearly on a date. And I was like, oh, this poor guy. And then he comes around and he sees me and kind of takes a stop and looks. And then he walks up to me and he says, and I go, oh, this poor guy, I feel like he's going to hit on me and I have to let him down easy. Like, it's
right.
And he just looks at me and he goes, how old are you? I remember being super offended. I was like, I don't know how things work in your sandbox.
I'm breaking up with you, sir. I am breaking up with you. Yes. Don't come up here and try to break up with me first, okay? I'm not trying to get after the ugliest boy in this bar, okay?
My thing was, I go, I'm pretty sure that's an inappropriate question to ask another lady. I don't know how things work in your playground, but where I come from, that is not an opener. That is not where you start. I said, I go, I'm 31. And he kind of gives me a look up and down, and he goes, if you're really 31, you better get it together, bitch. And he slaps me in the stomach. And I was like, what the hell? And I just sat there like, oh, my God. My point is that even if you'd want to deal with, I just love the idea of us still being in a society where, because I feel like obviously people are getting more and more accepting and progressive as, you know, as time goes on. But I like the idea that I would love to go to a PTA meeting with you or something like that and have it just come out like, you look nice. And then just watch some poor soccer mom break out in a flop sweat like, oh, how do I nicely tell her I'm not interested?
I know. The worst moment I ever had with this one person who I work with was we're not good friends, and I'm sure she's not listening. I don't care even if she is. But anyway, she saying something about who am I dating, and finally I'm like, this was back in the early times when it was harder for me to admit to people that I'm gay. So I'm like, well, I'm actually dating a woman. And she's like, oh, I had no idea. And I'm like, okay. She's like, I mean, it's totally cool with me. Just don't hit on me because I don't go that way. And I'm looking at her like, girlfriend, on my worst gay day, if you were the last gay lady on this world, it would not be you.
to be gay even today, it's like being everybody else's parent. That's what I still feel like you're almost expected to have to let someone down easy like that. Like you have to take the high road with them. It's
I totally did too. I was like, okay, I'll try not to hit on you.
But I also like the idea that she treated it almost like a dude would. Like, you know, like it's like, right. Bro, I'm totally cool with you, bro. But just so you know, I don't swing that way. Just so you know.
Right,
like,
right. Okay, thanks, man. Yeah, I got it.
Well, that was fun. All right, let's take another quick break and then we'll do a moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with a Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to dadgear.com and use promo code DADPODCAST at checkout for 20% savings. Made in the USA.
Sounds just like you.
I know, right? It's so weird. That guy, our announcer guy sounds so similar to the host. it's funny. I was just thinking, it makes me giggle to think of when, because both you and I started doing podcasting at the same time. And then for it to be today where it's like, I feel like every other second is a commercial on the show. The listeners don't seem to mind, but it is a weird jump to think of Bill and I doing it from the, the Quack Quack compound or something like that, where he had a duck yellow painted room, and we would sit over a desk with these two tabletop mic stands. And now I've got like a studio with a monitor and chat rooms and, anyway,
I know, your studio is my, like, I do, you're my hero. Oh. I tell everybody about your studio. I'm like, and he's got a whole studio.
That little pantry over your shoulder there, we could turn that into a studio like that. It would be so easy. I could come out there.
It is a studio, but it's kind of weak. But yeah, it could use a little help.
Yeah, I could make it into one. I said it again. I could turn it into one. I did like a passive aggressive mom.
Minimizing my studio. What if it doubles as a pantry?
It is a studio. Oh, yeah, you can't have Bounty the Quicker Picker Upper in your studio. That is not sound buffering, Heather. That is not. anyway, so yesterday, weirdly enough, I did a stand-up show here in Southern California where I ran into a comedian that I started doing comedy with like 10 years ago. I hadn't seen the guy in forever. Now it's funny because he was still just dating his girlfriend at the time, but they're married and now they have two kids and another one on the way. And I've got my two kids. And so I was like, hey, let's get our families together. And so we had this just really great. His kids are, I think he said, 3 and almost 2 or something, or 4 and almost 2. They're really close together in age. And I've got 9 and 6. And to watch my kids wrestle, like these kids were like ready to wrestle. And my kids aren't really big on wrestling, but to watch Jacob be the biggest one of them all, but having the time of his life, Heather, wrestling with this little 3 and a half or 4 year old boy who's pretending to punch him, and he's just playing with him like a superhuman big brother, even though he already is a big brother and he's a solid big brother. But when you take away the fact that it is his real sibling, which they're always going to be kind of jerks to a certain extent, and you plug in this other kid, and he was teaching this, I don't know, this sounds super sappy and super cheesy, but I think this is the point of Moment of the Week, is that I got to see what I think the kind of father that Jacob will be when he grows up. Like, and I know that I'm probably overstretching and giving myself way too much credit, but I feel like I deserve it, okay?
You do, honey. You do. I'd stroke your back right now if I was there.
I need some more cinnamon tea just to...
Drink your tea.
Oh, gosh. It's so much better. It was like watching him teach this little boy to climb the tree and, like, praise him, like... That's why we do Moment of the Week, is because for me, watching him do this is that moment where I go, I got to be doing something right. For all the times I sit up at night wondering, like, I hope they're okay. Am I not doing enough? Am I doing too much? All of that, where you have this moment where you're like, everything's going to be fine. And I know that I'm really blowing a lot of sunshine up Jacob's ass. But then, and Jack was the same way, but Jack is only six. And Jack was still playing with the kids and having fun with them. But Jacob was doing this more like paternal thing of like, yeah, swing off this rope. Let me show you how, and all this stuff. It was
right. It's like you see him being a good person, and you're like, huh, that was like the goal, right?
Yeah,
like,
right, what? Right. Yeah, I'm nailing this. I'm nailing this. Yeah. So that was my moment, and it was a really, really big one, to be honest, for me. Yeah, I was very, very touched. All right, your turn, Miss Heather.
Well, my kids, like, again, they're both 10. So, what's been really interesting lately is just them noticing how I feel about things, which is so crazy, right?
Wow.
I know. So I was completely, I'll do Carly, then I'll do a quick one on Liv, but I was completely stressed out with work. And I guess they knew that. I feel like I keep it from them, but I'm sure it's more obvious than I realized. And, I come downstairs and Carly had gotten up early and emptied the dishwasher. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, it just seems like you're real stressed out, Mom. So I thought that I could do this to help you. And I was like, on the one hand, like, I'm failing, because now she feels like she's
failing. No. Hand, like, she's empathetic. She's sympathetic. Like, you know what I mean? She's empathizing. Yeah, that's a win. Good for you.
It was so sweet. And then the other thing was Liv. So I feel the guilt comes in because I swear every time they tell me they're hurt, I'm like, suck it up. You're fine. You know, if it really hurts, you'll know. Okay.
that's such a great line. Oh, you're killing it today, Heather.
So, but then last night I did something. I bumped my hand on something or whatever. And I was like, oh, ow. And Liv's like, oh, Mom, are you okay? And I'm like, geez, it's no, I'm totally fine. But then I thought, I'm never that nice to them when they hurt themselves. But they're so sweet to me. That's the best thing about them at this age. They are so damn sweet. I love it.
Here's the thing. If anything, this is a win-win either way. I'm going to see this is that you either they're so nice, right? Because no matter what, there's a certain element of our parenting that our kids are going to grow up and disagree with, and they're going to do the opposite of, I'm sure. I mean, not right. You and I, all, everybody else, but not so you
right.
and I.
All the other suffers. Yeah.
But no, and I think that I'm looking at worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, maybe she thinks you're not sympathetic enough when she hurts herself or whatever, and that her overcorrection is to be super nice. But I really believe... Again, to go back to it, is that I think that that's a, not that you, again, you need my validation, but it's this idea that when you got kids who could be 10 years old and can kind of be aware of the world around them that doesn't involve their personal sphere, that's a huge win. Like if you bump, you're like, hey, you all right? Like what she's really saying is not saying, this is how I wish you would be when I hurt myself. I think what she's saying is like, I love you, Mom. I want to make sure you're okay, right? Like,
thank you. I think so. Yeah. And it's that, like, you know, when they turn that corner that there's an age where they start actually noticing other people a little bit. I mean, not first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
right.
First, but when they're done noticing themselves, they're like, oh shit, there's other people here. and it's so rewarding to see them be, you know, like just decent little humans. And that's an awesome thing.
All right. So you can obviously you could catch Heather as part of Naptime Radio. You can go to naptimeradio.com. They're all over Facebook and stuff like that. Many of you already listen to both shows. And the thing that we got to talk to about in regards to Naptime Radio before we leave is you do your annual. It's not annual, is it? Is it an annual sanity check? It's like a getaway for moms.
It's like every other year. And okay. The big thing about this one is it's probably the last one.
Oh,
yes. So people need to go to naptimeradio.com and click the link and buy tickets if you want to come. It's April 27th through the 29th in Phoenix. And the reason it's probably the last one is it's just, you know, everyone's so busy at this point that if we can focus on getting some shows recorded, awesome. But also planning an event is like, you know, everyone else in our life gets the shaft if we do that. So. Right.
Well, here's what I'm going to pitch to you, and I'm going to put you tremendously on the spot. So, but it's, you said April 27th through 29th in Phoenix. Yes. Where do they go to get information on how to book rooms and all that stuff?
So if they go to naptimeradio.com, there's a sanity check link right on the home page there, and they can click there and order tickets there and be on their way.
Boom goes the dynamite. You and I will talk offline about a way that maybe we can partner together and keep this thing going, because I happen to know a lot of moms that listen to my show that really love this. And so if there's a way that I can help, then I am down to help if I can. So we'll figure
out. You're awesome. That's why I love you, Justin.
Come on. Come on, this guy. If you're also
on you.
If you're in the Raleigh area and you need a realtor, why would you go with anyone else other than my good friend Heather here? You can find her at RaleighRealtyMom.com. You can also refer people to good realtors outside of the area, right? And that can also kind of help you too?
Yes. Yes, I can do that too.
All right. So go to RaleighRealtyMom.com if you have any real estate needs. And let Heather be your guru. All right. So I think that's it. On behalf of Heather, this is Justin saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, my friends.
Thanks for having me on.
You are welcome.